Okay, can I have everyone take their seats? We're going to start the next session. In order to try and get the conference back on schedule, we're not going to have a big introduction. Everybody can read the program, the conference program, in terms of our next session. The title of the session is Can High Food Prices and Volatility Be Managed? Our first speaker is Florence Rollet. She's a senior liaison advisor for the Food and Agricultural Organization in Washington, D.C. She has several Masters of Science degrees in Rural Resources and Environmental Policy, and also in agronomy from the National Institute of Agronomy in Paris. Florence.
Good morning, everybody. I'm very pleased to be here. I was here 2 years ago at this McGill Conference on Food Security, and I was just arriving from Ethiopia, where I lived for 3 years. And it was my first conference in North America as a speaker, and it was a very good memory. So I'm very pleased to be here again with you today. I'm going to speak about price volatility and food security, and I'm trying to always bring the two perspectives, which are the international perspective and the national perspective. I think the introduction by Robert about the important distinction between international food price or food price volatility and domestic ones are perfect for my presentation. You'll see I'll speak about a bit about price volatility and food security and the policy responses. So the price volatility, the first is the international dimension of price volatility, the volatility of international prices. Economists differ, they speak about normal price volatility, excess price volatility. There is no consensus about the threshold to consider for when it's normal, when it's excess. But when you look at the different studies, there is a consensus to say that, in fact, there has not been any increasing trend in international price volatility. We have had periods of high price volatility. One was in the 70s. We had very low price volatility, international price volatility in the 90s and the 2000s. And now we are in a period of high price volatility. On the domestic side, studies have been conducted before the first food price crisis in 2007 and 2008, and they have shown that the international price rise explained a very small share of domestic price variability in developing countries, which means that domestic price volatility is mainly of domestic origin. And it's due to different factors. You have, of course, the first one is the weather shock. As soon as there is a drought, price goes up. Poorly developed market infrastructure, etc., etc. And I think Prabhu mentioned that very clearly in his presentation. I just want to give you an example in Ethiopia, because it's a country which I have a very tight relationship, is there was a very sad story in 2002-2003 where there was a program which was called Sasakawa Global, which increased, which pushed farmers to adopt improved technologies in high productive areas in Ethiopia. And there was a bumping harvest in maize, in corn, in, 2007, at the end of 2007, the price locally totally dropped, and people had to sell at a lower price than the production cost. And And it was very difficult for farmers. They had to sell their assets and so on. And 6 months later, in the very low potential, agricultural potential areas, you had this big famine in Ethiopia in 2003 because there was a drought and the short-term agricultural production, the BELG production, was not there. So you have this high price variability, you know, without big international food prices in a country in two different regions of Ethiopia the same year. And then you have the transmission. So FAO worked quite a lot with high-level experts recently, 2 years ago, on looking at the transmission of from international price and international price volatility to domestic, and it varies enormously, and it varies from 5%, you know, in countries like the Philippines to countries like China, where it was 60% for a soybean, for example. So I'll give you another example of these variability, the domestic price variability. And when you look at the three lines below, at the bottom, it's the price volatility of local products. You've got local millet, local corn, consumer price and producer price. And you look at the variability of the price, you know, this seasonal variability is much higher than the top line, which is the price of imported rice. Okay. Now, price volatility and food insecurity. At the global level, it's a threat, but I think what is important to remember is that it's not well understood. And when you look at the last report that FAO issued 1 week ago, you know, the state of food insecurity in the world, it says that the number of undernourished people which the FAO calculates doesn't look at the impact of short-term price variability, because it's too difficult. There are many indicators that you have to take into account to look at the impact on this price variability. What we know on the global, at the global level, is that these general trends, that people are going into poverty traps because they have to sell their assets or have to reduce the intake of food when the prices are very high, so that then have a long-term effect on their livelihood. And the other trend is that the variability, the more prices are variable, the less the incentive is for farmers to invest in their land. And the example I was giving you previously, the Ethiopian example in 2002 was really a good example, because the next year these farmers who used to have a very good, had the demonstration that using technologies meant huge, better harvest, didn't take any of these technologies, didn't take any loan the year after, and went back to their, you know, low input strategy. At the local level, food price variability is a key factor for food insecurity or food security, and it's much better understood. And in Ethiopia, you have all the country which has been analyzed in terms of livelihood zones, so in terms of production systems, you know, where people have the same, a similar way to get their income and produce on their land. And you could see, if you look at this local level, you could have a very good understanding on the impact of the price variability, either low or high. Okay, international response. I am going to speak about AMIS, which is the Agricultural Monitoring Information System, very briefly because Prabhu mentioned it. G20 countries going together saying key of food security is very important. We need a better market information system and better transparency. So I'm going. What we have done so far, what is important is that AMIS is just 1 year old. It was launched in September 2011. And you can look at the website. I think it's www.amisoutlook.org. You have a database of all the main commodities, wheat, rice, maize, and soybeans, which is available with production, supply, demand, export available, and stocks. Then they're working on capacity building of national statistic agency, governance, structure, etc. Domestic responses. I want to speak about the case of Indonesia, where the price of rice was stabilized over more than 25 years using trade policies, using buffer stocks, and using floor price. So the assurance to farmers that they will get this price. And this is what it managed to do. If you look at the green line, it's the world price. And if you look at the yellow line, which is much more stable, it's the domestic price in Indonesia. Okay, look at the policy intervention around the which were the domestic policy responses. The first one are the trade policy, which were the most important one used by the countries to stabilize the price volatility in their countries. But more and more what we are looking at is two type of responses which are exactly related to what Prabhu called the two-pronged approach. One, safety net programs for the poorest and agricultural productivity boost for the one which have a possibility of commercialization of agriculture, of surplus production. Safety nets, more and more example. These are, don't read, it's just to show you the countries which have started on a pilot case or on a national case, social safety nets. Here's why it's important to invest in agriculture. It shows the red line is the when you invest in the agriculture, you have an expenditure gain which is much higher for the poorest, which are on your left side, than when you invest in outside the agriculture sector, which is the green line. So the importance of boosting, of investing in agriculture and boosting agricultural productivity. In conclusion, what I would like to say, because, you know, we need to always have this distinction between international issues, international food prices, and domestic food price. And if it was working for developing countries, so we always have, you know, domestic and national issues at the heart of our work. And when you look at what's happening, I think I would be optimistic, as Marco said in the last session, is that we are seeing national food security policies and programs taking place and effectively. And I would give you the three recipes. The first one is a political commitment at the highest level in a country to combat hunger and food insecurity and to translate that into institutional arrangement which are effective. The second one is a growth strategy for all with this two-track approach, social safety net for the poorest and employment and income generation for the poor. And the third one is resources allocated from the budget to these agricultural investment. And if you look at countries like Brazil, like Ghana this day, they have managed to reduce food insecurity in their own country. Thank you very much.